Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
At the beginning of this new year, Darren and I discuss repentance and how it means to turn from the life you've lived in the kingdom of darkness and to be born again, living in a new kingdom, taking orders from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You are no longer a pawn of the devil's. Being born again doesn't mean that you've arrived, but that you are just beginning in this exciting journey with the Lord. Allow Jesus to change your heart and to teach you and establish new spiritual laws in your life. It's so important that the old habits are dealt with and broken in your life in Jesus' name, and that you walk in confidence in the power of Holy Spirit who lives in you. Your Heavenly Father wants to cooperate with you in everything that you do, so it's important that you're on the same page with Him. He loves you so much, and He wants this year to be a powerful step in your walk with Him.
Well, we finally have a wonderful, gorgeous winter day in Denver, Colorado, and I'm glad the terrible cold is gone. I really am. Mm-hmm. I don't like that. When it gets down below zero, that's just something else. You don't feel like going out, and when you do, you almost freeze. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we've got a warm day today. I don't know what the temperature is out there, but it must be up around 35 or 40.
35 or 40. Nice. Oh, that's warm, Darren. That's right. Really warm. Yes. Well, we've been talking. We had a great class last night. It was tremendous, and I so appreciate all of you coming. Yesterday, though, we were talking about new concepts that Jesus brought into the new covenant when He arrived here on earth. And we were talking about the word repent, and you were saying how in the Old Testament, when they repented of their sins, they brought an offering once a year to the place.
You better tell our brand new listeners who we are.
Oh.
I don't think they might just say there's a guy's voice and a gal's voice. Who are these people?
And this is Darren in Denver.
Right.
And this is the man. Hello.
Hello, I'm Darren.
Darren, and I'm Barbara.
Right.
And it's nice having you with us. Jesus brought in some wonderful new concepts, and people had heard about the word repent. It had been in the Old Testament, repent. But it was a kind of repentance, and we were talking about part of that repentance was God's repentance. He repented that He had made man in a couple places, and He had repented over what man had done. And also, the word repent in the Old Testament is in the Hebrews 77:25, and that's to turn around, turn away from evil, from sin. And this was with an application of coming to a temple or a center where they sacrificed animals, and they did that once a year, and that would cover their sin, cover it. And when Jesus came, it not only covered the sin, Darren, it took it away. When we confess our sins, it takes it away. Hallelujah.
You know, I think at one point God wanted to destroy the children of Israel, because He was so angry with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the word says, and I don't have it right in front of me, and I should have before talking about it, but I think it says God repented. God changed His mind.
That's right.
You know, and I think that was the time when Moses interceded and said, God, don't you remember who you are? Mm-hmm. Remember your character, and how could you do this, being who you are?
That's right.
And I believe the text says that God repented, or God turned around, or God changed His mind, or God changed His way, His focus, His direction there, because of Moses' mighty intercession.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And so we know repent is one of the new concepts that Jesus brought into the new covenant. Also, being born again. And we see this wonderful confrontation in John 3 of Nicodemus coming to Jesus by night because he didn't want anybody to know that he was going to come and talk to this young upstart who was 30-some years old. And he was presenting a brand new gospel. And this must have been an absolutely new concept, Darren, because this man, the Pharisee of the Pharisees, did not understand the word born again. In fact, when Jesus said, ye must be born again, he says, what do you mean? To go back in my mother's womb and be born all over again? He had never heard that phrase. Being a Pharisee, it was not in the Old Testament.
Politically, it wasn't a very wise thing for him to be there.
No, it was not.
Yeah, today we would say, well, that's not very smart politics. You ought to stay out of there. You're rubbing shoulders with the wrong people, with the rebels.
That's right. And when he said, how can a man be born when he's old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? And Jesus answered, truly, truly. That means, hey, listen up, people. I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That means born out of your mother's womb, and then also of the Spirit. That means born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but don't know where it comes from and where it's going. You can't explain it. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus said, how can these things be? I really, truly believe when Jesus said, are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? He was saying, Nicodemus, there are things that the Pharisees need to learn here of the Spirit.
Also, excuse me, yesterday we talked about the concept of, in the Old Testament, they took care of sin by sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
They had something to do with their hands, with their eyes. They could see a performance. Now, Jesus is elevating so many of his teaching here to saying, now we're going to do this with the heart. This repentance of the heart,
that's right,
repentance with the mouth. And this concept of looking at the wind, you can't see the wind. You can see what it does. It makes the trees move and blows buildings down and blows a cardboard box down the street and that mm-hmm. kind of thing. But you really can't see the wind itself. You see
that's
the
right.
effect of the wind.
That's right.
And I think many times in Scripture, we need to elevate our understanding here to realize that Jesus now is speaking in spiritual concepts, spiritual
true.
Principles, and it's not like performance in the natural.
Mm-hmm. And Pharisees were used to doing everything in the natural.
That's
they
right.
were used to performance. And it says in Matthew 15 that the traditions of these men, this religious spirit that prevailed all through this time, it was made void and null, the word of God. It made powerless the word that Jesus was bringing. So
now,
Jesus,
when they get born again, you can't see a person get born again.
No, you can't.
I mean, you can hear them say the sinner's prayer. You might see light come on their face. You might see them stand up straighter. But you really can't see the born-again experience because that's a spiritual concept.
That's right.
And it's a spiritual reality.
And the great controversy today within the church is the fact that people say, well, if a person backslides or he draws away from God, he pulls away from God, well, he wasn't really saved. Oh, we can't say that, Darren. If they pray the sinner's prayer, it's up to Holy Spirit and God to judge that. We can't as human
right,
beings judge
right.
that. But we know here that Nicodemus received Jesus' words because when Jesus was crucified, he was there. And he worked with Joseph of Arimathea when they took the body to the tomb. So we know that Nicodemus was a man who received this wonderful message of being born again.
Now, I would say you really know that because he must have had a heart change
mm-hmm.
to stand against the political insurgents at the time,
yes.
the religious leaders of the day. He wouldn't have been seen, you know, at Jesus' crucifixion.
That's right.
On the side of understanding and compassion,
mm-hmm.
had he not had a change of heart.
Mm.
And that's really what this born-again experience is. We're looking for a change of heart.
Yes.
The only one that can forgive sins and change the heart of man is God himself.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Jesus.
Oh, praise God. And that's why we're here, Darren, I truly believe. And that's why we come on every day. Because we really have seen transformation in people's lives. And there are some people that society has given up on, but Jesus will never give up on you. He never will. He will work for your benefit no matter what and against all odds, especially if you say, like we know John 3:16. All of us know John 3:16. We see it at football games, and it is in this pivotal chapter in John 3. And this is a chapter that when you want to talk to a sinner about being born again, you turn to John 3 and give them John 3. And in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, what? Believes in him. That word believes is so important. We have to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior.
You know, I was watching just a little bit of the Tennessee-Florida, I guess it's Florida State game. It must be Florida State. The other one's the Gators. But anyway, every time they kick a field goal, the television camera would come from behind on the field goal, and somebody would raise up this sign, John 3:16.
Right.
They were faithful. They were well positioned in the end zone there. And I admire those folks who are willing to go to the ball games and do that.
That's right.
Praise God. And usually that's the scripture you see at the ball game,
yes.
John 3:16.
That's right. And so in Jesus' message, we know that he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is in hand, or the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then when we get born again, that kingdom of God dwells within us. That's the difference between Old Testament and New Testament. Old Testament, Holy Spirit never dwelled in people in the Old Testament. And that's why Jesus, after he was crucified, he went down to hell. He preached the message of salvation to those captives, led captivity captive, and preached that salvation message because they hadn't received it in the Old Testament.
So in the Old Testament, we were talking about an external relationship.
That's right. We are.
Now here in the New Testament, Jesus is introducing a new concept, moving us from performance now to a relationship, heart to heart with God. And when God changes our heart, then we're one of his, and we change kingdoms, which really means we're going to change the way of doing things.
That's right.
And the way of seeing things and the way of understanding things. So if you don't have spiritual eyes to understand, if you're not born again, reading the Bible can be as boring as reading an old newspaper.
That's right. And it used to be that way with me.
But I'll tell you, when the Spirit of God touches your heart, and you start seeing the Bible through revelation eyes, it's going to make more sense to you, and it will come alive.
Now, some people repent because they regret they got caught.
I've <That's>... done that. I was a kid. I mean...
And, you know, it's not regret of the consequences. You know, it's regret with a change of heart because God hates sin, and we love God, and we want to serve him. That's the change of heart we have, not that we got caught at what we were doing. And we know a lot of people, even up in the political scene, that all they regret is that they got caught. And they don't really truly regret the actions that they did, but that the very fact that they got caught, that is not true repentance.
Well, I think that's what's the problem with the high levels of our government right now. Say, okay, you caught me, now can we just go on?
Mm-hmm.
And you expose that, well, can we go on? And people are looking for a true heart repentance. Did you do it? If you did, say you did it. And if you did it, are you sorry? Is there any contriteness in your heart, if that's a word?
Mm-hmm.
You need to be contrite, and you need to be repentant to the degree that, yeah, I was wrong. You know, I said some things I shouldn't have said. I did some things I shouldn't have done. And yes, now you've exposed the sin. But in addition to that, I'm sorry I let you down. But we're not seeing that. You know, mm-hmm. That's what the country's upset about right now. We're not seeing that. And God wants to see that in our hearts, too. When
that's
he shows
right.
us a sin, he wants to recognize it. Oh, well, you know, too bad, Lord. Sorry. You know, we all blow it once in a while. God's not looking for that.
No.
He's not looking for empty words. He's looking for sincerity of heart with words to back it up. True repentance. I was wrong, Lord. Please forgive me. I broke your laws.
Mm-hmm. Now, there were times I had a problem in my early Christian life. Boy, I shouldn't be telling. Well, yeah, I'm going to tell this because
are you sure?
Yeah, I exaggerated the truth. I lied. I stretched the truth, and I had problems with that. I don't know why, if I wanted to impress people with what I knew that I didn't know, or if I don't know what caused that. I know Satan was behind it. And this may be a problem with a lot of you. You want to impress so much. You want the attention, the warm fuzzies of people. Oh my goodness, you're really impressive, that you exaggerate. Now, the word exaggerate is, it's only a fine line between that and outright lying. And in fact, as I confessed that and said, Father God, help me not to exaggerate. And when I finally put the word lie, because that's in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not lie. And as soon as I realized what I was doing, I said, Father God, please forgive me. And I confess this lying, and please remove this spirit of lying from me. Do you know, it didn't happen right away. It took maybe 4 or 5 months of every time I exaggerated, or every time I told a white lie, or every time I stretched the truth a little bit, Holy Spirit would nudge me. He'd say, okay, Barbara, you know, you remember what you prayed here. Now, I'm going to help you, but you have to come to attention that you are exaggerating again. You are lying again. You are stretching the truth. You are telling a little white lie. Little white lie is the same as a big bold lie. They're all the same. They truly are. And so as I as my spirit became conscious of that, and I became what the Christians say convicted. That means every time I did that, I was convicted, and Holy Spirit was nudging me in His love. Oh, He loves you so much today. He was nudging me in that love, and He was saying, Barbara, we're going to take care of that. Now, you have to, every time you do that and you're conscious of that, you need to repent of that. And as I repented, oh, friends, as I repented, and it only took 4 or 5 months, as I repented over and over again, Holy Spirit helped me to overcome that. Darren, I truly believe that that spirit of lying that was oppressing me and confusing me and controlling me at times is totally gone. I do not do that anymore. Praise His mighty name. Praise God. I don't have to impress people. I don't have to have attention anymore. And it's through the wonderful little nudgings of Holy Spirit. Oh, I praise God.
Well, since you're talking about your sins and being so open with people, I know some other sins that you have. Can I talk about them?
No, we're only going to do one at a time.
Just kidding. Just kidding. I like to catch Barbara off balance and see how well she reacts. She does a pretty good job.
But if some of you have
It's a matter of repenting.
Oh, it is. And we were just talking about being convicted. As you bring that out into the open, say, now, Holy Spirit, remind me. Every time I do that, nudge me. He's going to do that for you, and you have got to pay attention. And every time you do it, He'll nudge you, and you'll say, oh, I'm so sorry, Holy Spirit. Please forgive me. Please forgive me, Jesus. I don't want to do this. And He will help you to overcome that. If you have that problem today with a simple thing of exaggeration, and it's not really simple because as you exaggerate, it becomes bold-faced lies. It'll get darker and darker and darker. But if you have a problem today and you want some agreement that you're going to overcome this horrible habit that you have, this sin that you have let run amok in your life, we'll pray for you. We'd love to. Area code 303-455-0777. This is the year, Darren, to break those habits, to break those sins.
You know, I believe that when the Bible says He wants to conform us to His image and likeness, and I go back and I use this illustration often for myself and for others. When the old Polaroid cameras first came out, you'd take a picture and then you'd pull this gooey thing out of the camera, a great big monstrosity thing. And then you'd hold that photograph in front of you. Some of them you had to peel off another layer of stuff. But you stood there and you looked at the goo and whatever, and gradually this thing appeared.
Oh.
And if you were patient enough, you'd wave it around in the air and try to get it to dry off. And a lot of you listeners know what I'm talking about. But that's an example of moving from image to image and glory to glory.
That's good.
And He says, I want to make you like Me. Well, that means that some things that are on you and me that, you know, need to change. Mm-hmm. Just need to change.
Need to change.
Well, we got a caller. Dean, how are you doing?
Okay, Darren. How are you doing?
Good. Super.
I listen to you guys all the time.
Thank you.
You're so spirit-filled, you and your wife. Thank you for being there.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Can we pray for something for you, Dean?
Yeah, my wife and I are pretty much on the outs. We've had some problems, and I just need some prayer.
Yeah, we can do that. Dean, is this the first marriage for you?
No, actually, it's my second.
Okay, how about your wife?
And this is her second.
Okay, do you have children between you?
Yes, we have three. One lives with his mom, and one's with me, and the other one is from her first marriage.
So you have three children between you?
Yes.
And how long have you been separated?
Well, we're not separated, but, you know, the talk is there. And if anything, I know God's power can heal us. And
yeah, you've really got a broken heart, don't you?
Yes, I do, sir.
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it?
Do you love your wife?
I love her with all my heart.
Oh.
How long have you been married, Dean?
Oh, a little over 2 years.
Okay. Do you believe that she wants the marriage to be healed?
Yes, but I think that she just feels like, you know, it's been so overwhelming with so many things going on that, you know, she's ready to quit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what would you say the biggest arguments are over? What area would it be?
They were over my son, my oldest son.
How old is he?
He's 15.
Okay, is he a rebellious kid?
Yeah, he was kind of a rebellious kid, and we finally just, I fought it and fought it at counseling and everything, trying to get him to go counseling and do the right things, and he just decided he wanted to live with his mom, and I didn't want that to happen. But so our family went through a lot of problems over that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you think that he was really trying to undermine or destroy your present marriage?
Darren, to tell you the truth, I really don't know.
Okay.
At times it seemed that way, and other times it just seemed like he was just a lost kid.
Just a mixed-up kid?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I tell you, that divorces and remarriage is really hard on kids.
I know, Darren. That's why I'm just praying to Heavenly Father.
But, Dean, that isn't too big for God.
I know it isn't.
No, it isn't too big for God. Have you ever seen God do a real miracle in a relationship?
I need a big miracle, Darren. This is like the biggest miracle in my life.
What would that be?
Well, that we heal and that we can get this financial problem straightened out that we're having. And
how big is your financial problem?
At this point, it's not too big. I'm working on getting some refinancing and getting things straightened out.
Okay.
And
I think the finances, Dean, are just a symptom.
It's just a symptom, Darren. Right. If we can get a renter in there, then we'll be set and everything will be okay, I think. But
so you have a house that you need to put somebody in to get it rented?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
boy,
God can do that.
There's a lot of people looking for rentals.
How big is the house?
No, it's about 1,200 square feet total, 750 on the top.
Okay. Is it with full basement or what?
Yeah.
Is it a ranch?
It's a, old Victorian ranch style house, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe somebody will come. What part of town is it in?
Littleton.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you, people, is it a nice place to live?
Oh, it's really a nice place, yeah.
How much you want? How much rent?
Well, we were asking $1,200, but if I refinance this thing, that'll probably drop quite a bit, probably down to $1,000.
Okay. What do you want for it, though? You need to set a price. Somebody might get it rented for you.
Well, $1,200 would be good, and then if that comes in, then if the refinance happens, I will drop it.
Okay. Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we pray? If somebody calls and wants information, if you'll leave your number with us, maybe we can put the two of you together. How'd that be?
That'd be good.
Wouldn't it surprise me what somebody might call before the end of the show. What part of town is it really in? Give me a closer.
It's down Old Town Littleton area.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really pretty. It's beautiful right there.
Old Town Littleton. Mm-hmm. You want $1,200 a month? It's empty now?
Yeah, well, we have some people in there, some people that got a raw deal, and I was trying to do the Christian thing, and I let them stay 15 days without rent until they found a place.
Have they found a place yet?
They're working on it.
Okay.
Well, then you've got a harvest coming. See, you can go to Father God and say, Father God, I'm a tither. I hope you're a tither, but also the I'm a giver, Lord, and I give into your kingdom.
Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Are you a tither, Dean?
Yes.
Okay. And so you've got a harvest. And you can, I love what you say, Darren. You can go on to Will Call and call that forth in Jesus' name. And I know a lot of times the finances are the horrible pressure in marriages and on marriages.
Sure.
Not only the relationship, but boy, if finances are a problem at all, then it starts strife and dissension.
Oh, yeah.
And,
well, they say that's
so ugly over it. It was so ugly. I just told her I couldn't believe how ugly we were getting about it. Like Satan was right there. And
oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Do you know something? Sometimes these little arguments, we have to stop and say to our spouse, now, is this worth arguing over because it's tearing up our relationship?
Yeah, that's right.
And we both have to make a quality decision here to lay this thing down, go to prayer, get away from each other, spend some time alone, whatever you do to resolve these things. But I believe that husbands and wives need to make a decision. We're not going to let finances tear us apart. We're not going to let the kids. Mm-hmm. We're not going to let the economy. Things people say, what other people in the extended family say, we're going to stick together and we're going to keep our agreement intact.
That's right, agreement.
You've got to really protect that with everything that's in you.
Yes.
And if you both make that decision, then these things will blow over and God can get in there and work. But the devil wants to get us in disagreement. Pardon?
That's what I'm praying, that Sherry gets that heart to stick it out.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you will.
Let's pray.
I bet you will. Are you both near the same age?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's pray. Father God, we pray for Dean and Sherry right now in the name of Jesus, that strife will go out of their relationship, that distrust, Lord, that they will see that these things are external. They're not basic heart issues, Lord. Let them make that quality decision to say, we are going to stand together. We're going to pray together. We're going to stay in agreement at all costs.
At all costs.
No matter whether it's the kids or finances or whatever. And we're going to make our relationship the most important thing. And the kids will have to figure it out because we're going to stay together.
Thank you, Jesus.
And Father, I thank you that when people make those decisions, and when a husband covers a wife, and a wife supports a husband, or a wife covers a husband, Father God, these things can be taken care of in the name of Jesus. Father, today I pray that you would take the emotional hurt from Dean and let him see these things clearly. Don't let him see it through an emotional filter, Lord, but let him see it clearly and pray and bind those spirits that are trying to tear up his marriage.
Yeah.
Bind the spirit of disagreement.
Yes.
Bind the strife.
Yes,
yes, Lord. Bind
yes.
the distrust.
Yes.
And I thank you, Father, it can be a new day for this couple. Lord, they're so close to great success based on what we're hearing today.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm going to call that in Jesus' name.
Mm.
We're going to call this situation healed. Lord, we pray and ask that you bring a renter for that house.
Thank you, Lord.
In Littleton, in
yes.
Old Town Littleton. Bring that renter today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, and we speak a spirit of peace and joy over this household in Jesus' name. We ask, Father God, that you bring that spirit and envelop the whole family in new love and in new peace and in joy in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Oh,
remember this. God still does miracles. I got a scripture for you. It's Mark 10:27. With men, it's impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. You're
Amen.
Going to see God move in a strong way, brother.
That's right.
You've got a neat heart.
Stay in the Word. Oh, God bless you. We should not be focused on how to pay the mortgage payments and how to get our kids through school. And we should be enjoying the prosperity of God. He promised in Matthew 6, Darren, to take care of all those needs. He promised that. And we should not be obsessed with all that kind of stuff. In which we are. Satan has really done a royal treatment on the body of Jesus Christ.
That's right. But, and on our economy and on our leaders.
I'll tell you, we're going to come out of that.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for listening to this program from the past. The Word doesn't return void, and even though the new year may bring new challenges with it, just as you heard from Dean on the phone conversation on the program, there are an army of prayer warriors going to work in agreement that God will turn around your circumstance and give you a fresh start, and you can begin to instruct your spirit through God's Word. Remember that you're an overcomer, and you overwhelmingly conquer through Jesus Christ who loves you. If God is for you, who can be against you? You are now on the offensive, and no longer are you the tail running from the enemy. You are the head, and you are above, and no longer under circumstances. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. God bless you and keep you until the next time on Call to Freedom.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.